السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. It's been a couple of weeks since we had our last class, but inshallah we'll continue on. Just a recap, a little review, inshallah, what we were doing in the last couple of weeks, our last couple of sessions. We were talking about the persecution that the Prophet ﷺ had to face from the Kuffar of Mecca. So this is after the initial stage, the private stage of da'wah. Now the public stage of da'wah, open da'wah has started, and the Prophet ﷺ is starting to get abused, not only just verbally, but physically abused by the Meccans, by the Kuffar of Mecca. So we talked about a little bit, for example, one of his neighbors, Uqba ibn Abi Muqit, he was one of those who was close, the Prophet knew him before prophethood, and they were neighbors, and the Prophet was over his house for dinner, and when the Prophet was given the food to eat, just before he ate, he said, "I will not eat until you testify for me that La ilaha illallah, there's no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wa ana Muhammad Rasul, meaning the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So he says this to his host, and what's his name? Uqba ibn Abi Muqit, being a host and, you know, seeing that his guest is asking him to do this, he didn't want to be, he didn't want to put down his guest in this request, so he actually just says it, and he says the kalima. Now the next day, the kalima, this Islam of Uqba is well known amongst all the kuffar, all the leaders, and they start taunting him when he comes to sit with them, and they say to him that we heard that you became Muslim, and he says, no, I just said it because my guest asked me, Muhammad was my guest, and he requested me to say it, so I just said it to him, so I don't get disgraced in front of my guest. So they said, no, we need you to prove that you're with us still. And they asked him to do something. What did he do? What did he do to prove his kufr, basically? Anybody remember? Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. He went out, the Prophet, they told him, go and spit on the face of the Prophet ﷺ. So this man, this evil man, goes out to prove his kufr to his friends. And remember, I was talking about how being with good friends and being with evil friends, how they, there's a lot of athar from them. They make you do things that you will regret later. And Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, to prove his kufr to his friends, he goes out and searches for the Prophet ﷺ, and the riwayah comes that he tries to spit in the Prophet ﷺ's face, and one of the riwayah comes that spit actually stops mid-air and comes back to his face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet ﷺ in that instant, and the spit came back flying to his face. And so this is Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. And he's the one that, and I remember I mentioned the ayah from the Quran, well, he will be يَعُذُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ, that he will be biting not just his fingers. You know when someone's nervous, they bite on their fingertips, fingernails, and they just, you know, they have this habit of biting on their fingernails. He's not going to be biting on his fingernails, he's biting on his whole hand. He'll have his, not only his fingers, but his whole hand will be in his mouth, and he will biting it, I want to say, biting it up to the bone. Nothing remaining except the bone, and how much regret and remorse, and how, you know, nervous he is, seeing the adab on the Day of Judgment. He'll say that, oh, I wish that I had taken the Prophet ﷺ as a Khalil. That how I wish that I did not take Fulan, that person, as a Khalil, as a friend. I shouldn't have taken this kafir as a friend. I should have followed the path of the Prophet ﷺ. So we see again, their verbal abuse, not only a verbal abuse, but physical abuse. For example, when the Prophet ﷺ, his own uncle and auntie, Abu Lahab and Umm Jameel. And Umm Jameel, one of the things, I don't know if I mentioned this before, so her name, her laqab is Umm Jameel, and but she, her name is Arwa, Arwa bint Harb. And I don't know if that reminds you of someone, another notable person in Quraysh, by the name Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. So they are brothers and sisters actually. So Abu Lahab's wife, the aunt of the Prophet ﷺ, was actually the sister of Abu Sufyan. So Arwa bint Harb, she was the sister, and her name was Umm Jameel. Her nickname was Umm Jameel. And she was the one that would go around with thorns. She would put it on the path of the Prophet ﷺ's house to the Kaaba, so that when he gets up early morning to pray Tahajjud prayer or go for Fajr prayer, he would walk, not seeing those thorns, he would walk through them, his feet would be bleeding from the thorns. She would throw garbage on his doorstep. Okay, and when the, and before this, before that happened, when the surah was revealed, Surah Al-Lahab, we talked about how she came looking for the Prophet ﷺ with a stone in her hand and intending to hit the Prophet ﷺ with that stone. So she saw Abu Bakr Siddiq sitting next to the Kaaba. She walks up and she says, "Where's your sahib? Where's your friend? That I'm gonna, if I see him, I'm gonna smash his face with this rock." And then Abu Bakr remained silent. She walks away, and Rasulullah was sitting right there. So Abu Bakr turns to the Prophet and says, "That what happened here? Like, did she not see you?" And Rasulullah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered her eyes. She was not able to see me because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her eyes covered. So you see, again, doing all these things, her husband Abu Lahab, he was the one who was walking behind the Prophet ﷺ. It comes in one of the hadith, one of the sahaba who he became Muslim later on, he says, "I saw Rasulullah ﷺ in Hajj, Muslim of Hajj, walking around, and I saw this this short, fat man behind him, walking behind him and hitting him with pebbles and telling him, 'I know this man, he's my nephew, do not listen to him, he's a liar.'" Keep on saying this over and over, and he's pelting the Prophet ﷺ with stones until the Prophet ﷺ was bleeding. And this is before Taif even happened. So we see how they kept on doing this. Over also that same uncle and aunt, Abu Lahab forced, he told his sons, excuse me, Utba and Utaybah, his two sons, he told them, go and divorce the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. They had done nikah with the two sons, with the two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. So they had done nikah, and they weren't married yet, but they did the just the first ceremony of nikah. And he tells his sons, go and divorce them. So now Utba and Utaybah, they divorce the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ. And Utaybah, he takes it one step further. He actually goes to the Prophet ﷺ in the midst of the people in front of the Kaaba, and he grabs the Prophet ﷺ's clothing like this. And he actually pulls him on his shirt. He tells him, "I divorce your daughter, and I don't want to be near you, and I don't want you to be near me." And he basically pulls on the shirt. He rips the upper garment, the shirt of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, after this, the Prophet ﷺ, he actually makes du'a against Utaybah. And he says that, "I ask Allah, an yusalli to Allah, that he sends a kalb, he sends one of his dogs on this person." And soon after, thereafter, Utaybah, he actually goes to Sham on an expedition, on a business trip. And when he goes there, they set up camp on, you know, as they're resting, and they see a lion encircling their camp. So there's lions encircling their camp, and Utaybah, seeing this lion, he gets fearful, because they knew that the Prophet ﷺ was telling the truth. They knew he never told a lie in his life. So he was so afraid of that lion, and he goes, Ya Waylu Ummi. Okay, he says, "Ya Waylu Ummi, huwa wallahi akili," that this lion is gonna eat me. This lion is gonna kill me. Kama da'a Muhammadan alayhi. Just like the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ made dua against me, I know this lion is here to eat me. قَتَلَنِي إِبْنُ أَبِي قَبْشَ وَهُوَ بِمَكَّةِ وَأَنَا بِالشَّامِ. That the Prophet ﷺ, while being in Makkah Mukarrama, he has killed me, and I'm all the way...
It's a clean cup, it's from downstairs.
Okay, thank you. So I'm all the way in Sham, And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Mecca, and he has killed me by his dua. And that night, they all put their luggage, you know, around in the camp around. They put Utaybah's tent in the middle of the camp, so basically to try to protect him. And he still was uneasy. He was not able to sleep. But this lion comes through, tiptoes and comes through the camp, leaving everyone behind, gets to the middle tent where Utaybah is, and bites his head off. That was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we see how they're doing this, how they're, you know, abusing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another instance where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's making tawaf around the Kaaba. And as he's making tawaf, they're abusing him. Every time he passes Dar al-Nadwa, they're abusing him. And they keep on doing this until at the end of the tawaf, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them that, جِئْتُكُمْ بِالذَّبْحِ, I have come to you with death. I have come to basically slaughter you. And they say, and they all, you know, taken aback, and they're all quiet. They don't say a word further. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ goes home. The next day he comes back, and they all pounce on him. They say, are you the one who says this and this about our idols? And they pounce on him, and they start grabbing him. They start beating him. Abu Bakr Siddiq comes at that time and pulls them off one by one and says, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ, that you're gonna kill a man because he says that my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with tears in his eyes, pulling them back. But they didn't stop there. They turned on Abu Bakr and they smashed his head. They put a gash in his head. He was bleeding profusely from that. Another instance where same guy we talked about earlier, Uqba bin Abi Ma'id, again, you know, trying to prove his kufr to his friends, trying to make a laugh out of it. He's sitting with the kuffar. And I think I mentioned this last time actually. Abu Jahl says to him, who's going to go and pick up the remains of this camel that was slaughtered the previous day and throw it on the back of the Prophet? And the Prophet is making, he's doing namaz towards the Kaaba. And as he's doing salah, the Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayyid comes with this leftovers of this, you know, and all the, you know, the inner the stomach and all that stuff from the animal, and throws it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he throws it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's heavy, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues his sujood until his daughter, young Fatima radhiyallahu anha, comes, and she's cursing them and telling them that, how could you do this? With tears in her eyes, she starts cleaning off this dirt and this, you know, this filth from the back of her father. And Rasulullah at that point, he makes dua against him. He says, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh, three times. Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. He says this, and then he names them one by one. He starts naming these leaders of the Quraysh who were sitting there laughing and falling over each other, seeing the Prophet in that state. But they stopped laughing when they saw him cursing them and making badua against them. They stopped laughing, and they knew that there's now, it's set in stone. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radan, who was present there, he said that none of us was able to stop them from what they were doing because we were so fearful. And the daughter came, and she's the one who did this. He says that I saw each one of the names that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned at that time. I saw them die in the Battle of Badr one by one, and then their dead bodies were dragged together and thrown into the Kalib, into the Bi'r of Kalib, the well of Kalib. It's on the battleground of Badr. So again and again, they're doing this. Rasulullah ﷺ, another time, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, this is a separate incident where the Prophet is making sujood, he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt comes behind him, takes a piece of cloth and wraps it around the neck of the Prophet and starts to choke him. So he starts to choke him until the Prophet could not even breathe, and he falls down on his knees. The Prophet was standing and praying. He falls down on his knees. He's just, you know, he's about to die. And Abu Bakr comes, he tackles Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, pushes him out of the way, and he says, أَتَقْتَلُونَ رَجُلُ, how can you kill a man because he says, أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ, that he says, my Lord is Allah. That's why you're fighting him, that's why you're abusing him like this. So they did this, and then again they pounced on Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. And one of the famous incidents, again, I'm saying the timeline, when, there's a lot of stuff that happened over the years. And for example, this incident I'm going to talk about now, it's in the sixth year of after the da'wah. So sixth year of Nabuwa, after the Prophet ﷺ has started preaching. He's 46 years old, okay? And now Rasulullah ﷺ is by Mount As-Safa, where, you know, Safa Marwa, where you do Sa'i, when you do Umrah and Hajj. So the Prophet ﷺ is near Mount Safa, he's by himself, and he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Jahl notices him, he walks right up to him, he starts to swear at him, starts to curse him, starts to abuse him, verbally abuse him. And the Prophet ﷺ does not say a word, does not respond at all. Like إِذَا خَاطَبَ الْجَاهِلُونَ, when the jahilun, when they talk to you, when they speak to you, then the ones who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not respond. They don't even respond to them, they just ignore them. So Abu Jahl is saying this, he's abusing him. Rasulullah is remaining silent, not saying a word back. So this increases the anger of Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl at that point, seeing that there's no reaction from the Prophet ﷺ, he takes a stone and he hits the Prophet ﷺ on his head with the stone. And the Prophet ﷺ starts to bleed. Now Rasulullah ﷺ again does not say anything to him, and he just quietly goes back to his home. And at that instance, we know that the uncle of Rasulullah ﷺ, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, he was a strong, he was a strong man, and he was a hunter actually. He would go out on hunting expeditions, not with a group of people, by himself. He would go out to the wild and he would be hunting by himself. Now Hamza, at that point, radhiyallahu anhu, he was out hunting, and at that point he's coming into Makkah Mukarramah. As he comes in, one of the slave girls of Abdullah ibn Jada'an, and the slave girl was non-Muslim, Abdullah ibn Jada'an was also non-Muslim, and Hamza at that point was non-Muslim. So you look at the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, like the ayah of, in the Quran, وَلَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّهِ إِلَّهُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no one knows the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for him. So now this slave girl walks up to Hamza. She sees Hamza coming into Makkah Mukarramah. She stops him and she starts narrating the whole story, what happened to her, what happened to his nephew. She says that Abu Jahl went up to him, he abused him, then he hit him with a stone and he's bleeding, and then he didn't say anything, he went back to his home. Hamza is infuriated at this, that how could he treat my nephew like this? How could he do this? And then he physically hit him also. How could he have the jur'ah to do this? So now Hamza radhiyallahu anhu, he goes over to the Kaaba on his horse, gets off the horse, and he sees Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl, after hitting the Prophet ﷺ and verbally abusing him, he actually goes over to the Kaaba, to the Dar al-Nadwa. He starts boasting to his friends what he just did, and starts telling them that I just went and I did this. He was praying and I actually smacked him on his head. He was bleeding and he didn't say anything to me. And he's, you know, boasting to his friends that this is what happened. And they're laughing about it. Hamza radhiyallahu anhu comes in the midst of these people, walks straight up to Abu Jahl, and he raises his bow. Okay, he takes his bow, he smacks him on the head. He just, without saying a word, just smacks him on the head. And Abu Jahl is astonished at this, and on the people who are around him, you know, they all come around, and they say, they're about to, you know, jump up to defend Abu Jahl, and he says, Da'u Abu Amara. His name was Abu Amara. So they said that, leave him, for verily I did verbally abuse his nephew and physically abuse his nephew, so he has the haq, he has the right to do this. And at that point they stop. Now Hamza radhiyallahu anhu, he turns to Abu Jahl and he says to him, Atashtamahu wa ana ala dini, that you swear at my, you curse my nephew, and I am on the same religion, aqulu ma yaqul, and I say what he says, meaning I say the shahada, I say the kalima, just like he says this. And then he says, فَرُدَّ عَلَيَّ ذَلِكَ إِنِّي اسْتَطَعْتُ. That if you have the courage, go ahead, hit me back. If you have the courage, if you can, hit me back and do what I just did to you. Abu Jahl at that point does not say anything. He's actually scared of Hamza radhiallahu anhu, and he doesn't respond back. Now Hamza at that point, remember, he said this in anger, and he wasn't Muslim at that time. He wasn't Muslim. So he says that he realizes when he goes home that, you know, I said this out of anger, and now I'm in a situation where I have to stay on the deen of my nephew and become Muslim, which I didn't really even think about. I'm not even, you know, Muslim by heart, or you know, and leave the religion of my forefathers, or I have to go back on my word, and everyone will know that I just said it and I went back on my word. Remember, the people even in Jahiliyyah before Islam and after, they were really particular about telling lies. So it would be a really disgrace if someone was caught telling a lie. So they would always be careful of what they said and not lie. So now Hamza radhiallahu anhu goes home, and he has a sleepless night, thinking all night, what did I get myself into? What did I say? Now am I going to become Muslim? Am I going to say that? Am I going to go back on a word? And people are going to call me a liar. What am I going to do? He thinks about this the whole night. In the morning, he goes straight to his nephew, Rasulullah, and he starts talking to him and telling him what the situation is and how he feels. And he actually becomes Muslim, says the Shahada at that point, and he becomes a Muslim. Now Hamza radhiallahu anhu, when he became Muslim, the kuffar at that point, they knew that Islam, no matter how much they try to, you know, put down the fire of Islam and the light of Islam, it keeps on growing stronger and going and getting bigger and wider. And Hamza radhiallahu anhu becoming Muslim actually was a nusra for Islam. The Islam became even stronger at the Islam of Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radhiallahu anhu. 3 days after Hamza radhiallahu anhu becomes Muslim, another famous person becomes Muslim, and that is Umar ibn Khattab radhiallahu anhu. So Umar ibn Khattab radhiallahu anhu becomes Muslim, and that even strengthens Islam further. And inshallah, we're going to talk about that another time. So we'll stop there, inshallah. If there's any questions, you know, you can ask, inshallah. If not, then we'll continue, inshallah, next week.
Why would Rasulullah being called Ibn Abi Kabsha?
Ibn Abi Kabsha, jazakallah khair. So Ibn Abi Kabsha, that was Abi Kabsha was the name of his father from the husband of Halima Sa'diyya radhiallahu anha. So that was his nickname, and because she was the milk mother, he was the milk father. So they would call him Ibn Abi Kabsha. That was the name they would give him. So inshallah, we'll stop there. And inshallah, next week I was going to actually talk about the persecution of the Sahaba. I know I did speak a little bit already, but I want to talk a little bit more detail about that. And then we're going to go into the Hijrah of Habasha. And then we'll talk about the Islam of Umar ibn Khattab radhiallahu anhu, and, you know, go on after that, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.